Now he's laughing. I settle for gray cable knit tights, a hunter green turtleneck sweater dress, and my black ankle boots. I muss my hair in the mirror and, crap, I didn't bring any makeup in here. Okay, deep breath. Open the closet door, step out. He looks me over head to toe from the Lazy Boy and smiles. Are we going skiing, Jupiter? I hate you so much. He laughs again. He slouched down in the chair wearing the pale blue button-down and khakis he wore to school today. The guys have to dress business casual on game days, and yes, he looks nice. How the hell is he so chill about this? He's staring at my face now. It's giving me goosebumps. You look amazing, he says. I need to throw some makeup on. He shakes his head, stands, and comes over to me, kisses my forehead. You certainly do not, Miss Charity Sanchez. You are absolutely stunning without it. Am I dying? I think I might be dying. He looks me in the eye. There's that smile again. I changed my mind, I blurt. His smile drops away. In the silence that follows, I swear I hear it hit the floor. He steps away, looks at the ground and rubs the back of his neck, takes a deep breath. Okay, I respect that. I want to do it at your house, I say. His head snaps up and his eyes are wide. I can't look at him anymore. It's making my heart beat way too fast. Would that be okay? Mama Nia's with Dad and Poppy, so I figured, that's fine. Silence. Then, do I need to, bring a thingy, I say? Or do you already have one? He smirks. Pretty sure the thingy is attached to me, Jupes. Oh my God, that's not what I meant. This is mortifying. I'm kidding. Calm down. Like that's possible. If you mean a condom, yeah, I got us covered. Well, me covered. He clears his throat and won't meet my eyes. So he is nervous. Should we, head over then? He says. I swallow super hard and then nod. Take one last peek around this room that for so long has been ours. I don't want to ruin the memory of it in case everything goes to shit after tonight. Yeah. We lock eyes and I gulp again. Let's go. And then it's happening. We step into his room and he's asking lights on or off, and I'm saying on, and his face is lighting up like he's relieved. Then the door is clicking shut and I'm standing against it and he's looking at me and I'm looking at his lips. I'm rising to my toes and my hands are on his chest and my eyes are closing and my lips are touching his. It's my first real kiss, that stolen one be damned. And his lips are full and soft and nice, and my heart is racing. Then his hands are on my waist, and my hands are gripping his shirt. His lips are parting, and my lower lip is between his teeth, and he's humming. Oh, wait, that's me humming, because it feels like every inch of my body is humming. So it only makes sense that my mouth, which is now opening as Coop's tongue slips inside it, is humming too. There's the door against my back and Coop's body against my front, and, oh, there's that friend of his I already feel like I know so well. Both of our mouths are open now, and I'm hot, and my hands are sliding up to his neck. I'm humming again, more emphatically this time, because never in my life have I been so hungry. It's a shock, because I had no idea there was an appetite in me for this. Then he's pulling away, and the anguish I feel over it might be the worst thing I've ever experienced. What the hell is happening to me? You okay? He says, and he's staring at me, into me, it seems, with wonder in his eyes and in the lifted corners of his mouth. How in 11 flippin' years of friendship did I miss that mouth? How did I not know it would be like this? I throw my arms around his neck and kiss him again, and then he's lifting me. My legs wrap around his waist, and his hands are on my thighs, then my hips, then butt, lower back, bare waist as he takes off my dress. It's dropping to the floor with a phoomp. And his buttons are cold against my chest and stomach. The door is cool against my back as he presses me into it, but his hands, they're blazing. That incredible mouth is on the edge of my chin, then behind my ear, then gliding down my neck, then grazing over my collarbone, and there's the tip of a tongue making little circles just above the line of my bra, and I'm groaning because every inch of me is burning. I'm trying to unbutton his shirt because I want it off, but the bottom half is trapped beneath my thighs, so we pull apart and he puts me down so I can finish. Moment of clarity now that my eyes are open and I can see how much my hands are shaking. I'm standing here in an orange bra, gray tights, and black booties. Trick-or-treat anyone? Trying to undress my male best friend so we can have actual sex, like with each other. I look up at him and he's looking down at me, and now I'm shaking so bad I can't get the next button undone. Here, he takes my hands and puts them at my sides, then pulls the shirt up over his head. After he drops it on top of my discarded dress, he steps out of his shoes and kicks them aside, then kneels in front of me to take mine off too. He's so gentle, sliding his hand from my calf to my ankle, lifting my foot by the heel, unzipping the booty, and slowly sliding it off. Once both shoes are set aside, he tickles the bottom of my left foot, and I totally snort. I cover my mouth even though I've snorted in front of him 1,000 times. Just feels a little different doing it half naked. He puts his hands on my hips and grins up at me. Don't get mad at me for saying this, but you are cute as hell, Jupes. Oh, stop it. And now I'm blushing? Seriously don't know what's happening right now. I would like to go back to kissing, though, and more. My mind doesn't really get the more, but from the urge I feel to rip the rest of his clothes off and literally jump his bone-er, my body doesn't seem the least bit confused. You mind if I, He tugs at the waistband of my tights. I shake my head. Is that a no, you don't mind, or no, do not take my tights off, I can do it myself, you patriarchist swine? He winks. Shut up and take them off, Coop. So he does. Then he looks me over head to toe again. His smile fades and his mouth snaps shut. He drops back so he's sitting on his heels. Okay, Coop? No response. Well, besides his mouth drifting back open apparently of its own accord. I peek down at myself. I'm definitely fleshier than the average girl he dates and have stretch marks, my tiger stripes, where my thighs and butt expanded quicker than my skin was ready for. But it can't be that bad, can it? Weirdest part is I usually love my body, but the notion of him not liking it makes me question things. Not real sure what to do with that. Now his gaze feels like some sort of laser beam over my bumps and dips and grooves, and it's getting a little uncomfortable. I'm cold where I was hot before, and I'd really like to put my clothes back on and go crawl into my closet, please and thank you. I shift, and my arms rise to cover what I can, but Coop catches my wrists. No, don't, he says. He interlaces his fingers with mine and holds my arms out at my sides as his eyes continue to roam. Jupiter, you are... And then he looks up into my eyes. Can I touch you? I nod. He lets go of my hands, which feel icy now, and puts his hands on my waist. Then he trails them down over my hips and thighs until he reaches my knees, which he cups and rubs his thumbs over. I swear my heart, like, trips over itself. It's like I knew, but I didn't know, Coop says. Huh? That every inch of you would be immaculate. Oh. You're a damn miracle, Jupes. And we're done here. I unhook my bra and let it drop to the floor, and then I grab his hands and tug so he stands. His eyes seem like they're about to burst from his face, but once he's up, I unbuckle his belt and pants and squat to push them down so he can step out of them. The second I rise, our mouths are colliding, and he's scooping me up and carrying me to what feels like both an end and a beginning. I can't sleep afterward. Too much in my head. First, there's the constant replay of all the things I had no idea Courtney Cooper could do. Trying not to think about it too much, but if he used his hands and mouth with his former girlfriends the way he just used them with me, I can't begin to fathom why they would have dumped him. The actual intercourse part did hurt a little, but he was super caring and attentive, and the one time I opened my eyes, he looked like he'd stumbled into heaven. It didn't last long. At least the first time it didn't. The second time, though, well, I think things may have gotten a little complicated. That's another thing I can't stop thinking about. In the middle of the second time, I got a little caught up in him. His body over mine and the sweat on his back and his scent and the way his skin tasted. Bottom line, in the midst of our fervor, the words, "I love you, Courtney," slipped out of my mouth when it was by his ear. And I'm pretty sure I meant it. Then he totally said it back, which is confusing, especially since as soon as I came back down, if you will, who popped into my head but Ray Chin? Her kissing me, her cold little hands on my waist, her playing in my hair, her eyes, her laugh, her smile, her telling me she thinks she loves the boy I just, Yeah. Anyway, I can't sleep now. The wrist with my bracelet feels like it weighs a trillion pounds. So I get up. I pull on my tights and the button-down he was wearing, and I leave to go to my house to find the original box. I take off my charm bracelet and I put it inside, and then I write a note. Thank you for you. Close the box and wrap it in silver paper. After slipping back into his room and sitting the gift on the bedside table, I lift the covers to crawl into bed next to him. He automatically shifts and wraps an arm around my waist, tucking me into my usual spot in the cozy curve of his body. I inhale deeply and smile. Apparently, no matter what bed we're in, if I'm in little spoon position with Courtney Cooper, I feel like I'm home. I take all the shit swirling in my head. You can't be doing this. This isn't right. He's a guy. What about Ray? You're not allowed to like being with him. You're going to regret this. This is going to be a shit show. You have no idea what you've just done. You're a terrible person. And I stuff it down as deep as I can get it to go. Then I snuggle in deeper and let Freddie's voice fill my head. That's because I'm a good old-fashioned lover boy. 24. Pain is so close to pleasure. A Kind of Magic, 1986. And then you leave your body again and spend the next week looking down at yourself and wondering what the hell you're doing. This begins the morning of Coop's birthday when you wake to him, one, squeezing you tight from behind and kissing your neck as he, two, pokes you in the ass with his morning wood, and three, instead of leaping out of his bed while screaming bloody murder, as you very well should because, ew, boy thingy, hello, you roll over to face him and actually kiss him on the mouth. No, for real, what are you doing, Jupiter? You haven't even brushed your teeth. He smiles at you with his eyes looking like perfect, gently worn pennies, and your heart basically explodes as you smile back and run your fingertip over his nose. Then he wiggles down and tucks said nose in the little crook between your chin and your neck, and he just lies there and breathes. It occurs to you that you could stay this way, not forever necessarily, but until you could no longer hold your pee. That moment, sadly, comes much too soon, but when you tell him you need to get up or you'll wet his bed, he whimpers like a little boy and throws his big-ass leg over your body to pin you down. You should be outraged at this patriarchist attempt to override your agency and disgusted by the blatant display of weakness, but you are neither because he's just so damn cute. So you giggle. You giggle? What the frick, Jupiter? He eventually lets you up. And that's when, upon tossing the covers off, you notice the little bloom of crimson on Coop's light blue sheet. Your eyes widen, and what you did with your best friend last night tumbles down over you like bricks falling from a crumbling wall. Oh my God, you say, and you put your face in your hands and almost come back to yourself. But then that wonderfully cute, deliciously sweet dream of a boy, because you have to be dreaming, says, "Guess it's a good thing I do my own laundry, huh?" And he kisses you on the cheek and gets out of bed to stretch like nothing happened. He's still naked, and good Lord, his ass. It's like the work of some master carver. He notices the little gift box on the bedside table then, and looks over his shoulder at you with his eyebrows raised. Pour moi? Man, is he cute. Will you snap out of it, please? This is going to be a disaster! You smile at him and swing your legs over the edge of the bed. Finally, your body has apparently reabsorbed some of the pee or something because you don't have to go as bad, but you would like to freshen up, as they say. Oui, you tell him, utilizing the summation of almost 3 years of high school French, but don't open it yet. I need to run to the bathroom, and I want to be here when you do. As you stand, he comes around the bed and lifts your chin. Whatever you say, boss, and he gives you a quick peck on the lips. It makes you all tingly, largely because of what you did, but also because of who he is. Courtney Cooper, best friend and the first person you ever said, "I definitely want to marry a girl to," is kissing you on the lips while standing butt-ass naked because you had sex with him. Sex. Sexual intercourse. Peeing in vajayjay. Holy friggin' shit, Jupiter. Again, you almost come back to yourself, but then he runs the tip of his index finger over your ear, neck, collarbone, then down the center of your chest, which is exposed, you realize, because you're still wearing his shirt and it's unbuttoned almost to your belly button. You're missing a supportive undergarment in that area, and oh my goodness, now you're blushing and tingling again. Fool! You finally go, and when you come back from the bathroom, eye crud removed, face washed, teeth brushed, hair bunned, he's sitting on the bed in basketball shorts, darn, with the gift in hand. Open it, you say, sitting beside him. He sees the thank you note first. Aw, Jupes! But when his gaze alights on the bracelet, the smile falls from his face and he looks at you. His eyeballs are moistening. You clear your throat and fight to hold the eye contact. It's kind of burning a hole in your soul at the moment, especially since you're still conflicted about the first kiss sapphire, but you have to push through. Happy birthday, Coop, you say. You earn that, and you nod at the bracelet in the box. One corner of his mouth quirks up. I earned it, huh? Oh, God, you smack your forehead. He laughs. It's like the pinging of wind chimes at dawn on the Gulf of Mexico combined with the sound of ocean waves against the shore. It's yours, Courtney. You tuck some stray hairs behind your ear. Probably always has been. Slow your roll, girlfriend. He's staring at you when his first tears fall. Aw, Coop, don't cry! And you look away from him because you're totally about to cry, too. And then his hand is on your chin and he's turning your head and he's kissing you. Sweet Lord, is he kissing you. To your surprise, especially since you spent 30 minutes making out plus before hopping in the shower together, when Poppy, Dad, and Mama Nee come in bearing gifts and brunch, you and Coop somehow manage to act completely normal. You pick at each other through the whole meal, even throwing a bit of food and getting yelled at here and there, and when he opens your other gift, an autographed Steph Curry poster for his Great Men with Girly Names collection, he bonks you over the head with it and you call him foul names, though you do wonder if Poppy or Dad notices your naked wrist. As a matter of fact, this normalness carries on into dinner, which Ray and Dr. Chin attend, and then spills over into the week. You still tingle when Ray touches you a certain way, which is all the time, so the rides to and from school are a little intense. But when Coop's around, so are Britton and Golly, and nobody is the wiser. School is school, and classes drone on, and Coop gives you more noogies in the hallway. But everyone looks at you the same way they did before. Basically, everything is as it was. Except for at night, when you and Coop are alone together. And during that week after his birthday, Mama Nee is working third shifts, so that computes to just about every night. There's even a night when Ray sleeps over and you sneak out at 2:43 a.m. to go next door. But when you and Coop come in together the next morning, she doesn't even bat an eyelash. You're a horrifyingly shitty person, by the way. Your secret is safe. No one has a clue. You're in a full-blown liaison with your male best friend. You're living in the moment on a cloud somewhere, not thinking, not considering costs, effects, consequences. Your conscience is on hiatus. You're gone. Until the morning, you're putting the finishing touches on an outreach for kids from a bunch of Atlanta area shelters, and Coop stumbles into your room completely out of breath. Jupes, we gotta talk, like right now, he says. You can feel every pulse of your heart in your fingertips as you look at the calendar hanging over your desk. March 31st. Coop's birthday was exactly 1 week ago. Now Ray's insistence upon staying at her own house last night to prepare for the big day makes sense. You had no idea what she was talking about, but you didn't want to seem like a bad friend, which you obviously are, so you didn't ask what she meant. You certainly know now. Everything you've done this past week begins to trickle down over the real you from the cloud dazed you's been sitting on. First, a drizzle. Sleeping in Coop's bed, kissing Coop, touching Coop, Coop touching you, then fatter, heavier drops, Coop's hands on your, and your hands on his, and his mouth on your, and your, on his, then the icy deluge that soaks you to the bone, Coop on you and over you and under you and in you, and I love you, Courtney, and I love you, Jupiter, and I've always loved you, and I love hearing you say that. Down, 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 you tumble from that cloud as Freddie Mercury croons from the speakers of your laptop. Sunshine and rainy weather go hand in hand together. Hello, Earth to Jupiter, kinda in crisis here, Coop is saying. I blink a few times, settle back into my skin and this time and this place. Turn to look at Coop as he drops into the lazy boy and drags his hands over his cheeks. Ray just called and asked me out. And there it is. Holy Freddie Mercury, what the hell did I do? Okay. He leans forward and puts his elbows on his knees. I don't... Shit, Jupe! His head drops into his hands and he groans. How the hell do I turn her down without ruining the friendship? I swallow the pill of my doom and clear my throat. Why would you turn her down, Coop? I don't think I've ever seen Coop's head snap up so quick. Nor have I ever seen him look so perplexed. For real? He says. Why wouldn't I turn her down? The hell kind of question is that, Jupiter? I mean, you obviously like her. I look at my computer because I can't face him anymore. The tears are welling and the throat knot is forming and I'll cry. I just don't see why you'd say no if you like her. And I know you do. I can tell. He doesn't respond. I've seen the way you look at her, Coop. And it fucking kills me. You even told her about your Carnival Carl thing. I swallow the sting of those words leaving my mouth. Suck it up, Jupiter. It's done. Is that what this is about? No. Maybe. Whatever. It's not about anything, Coop. You like her. She likes you. 1 + 1 = 2. Okay, who are you and what the hell have you done with the girl I spent the past week sleeping with? Do not dare think about that, Jupiter. He's not yours anymore. Let him go. Look, it was fun while it lasted, but you should move on now. I feel like I'm stabbing myself with every word. You and Ray are perfect for each other. You practically belong together. Excuse me? You're excused? Oops. Probably shouldn't have said that. Too late, though, because now my chair is rotating and Courtney is glowering down at me. His jaw is tight and there's a vein pulsing in his neck. It's seriously a wonder there's no steam coming out of his ears and nose. We've been banging practically every night and now you're telling me to go date someone else? The banging. Of course. Look, you got what you wanted, right? I get up from the desk chair and slip past him to go sit on the bed. Create a little distance. Courtney Cooper made a pledge to save himself for his best friend, Jupiter. They've done it a few times, so now, mission accomplished. Are you fucking kidding me right now? He hollers. Stop yelling, asswipe, I say. Poppy is downstairs. You want him finding out you deflowered his daughter? Think he'll let you hang out over here once he knows? I swear his eyes are about to explode out of his head and shoot molten bronze goo all over the room. Jupe, if that's what you think this whole thing was about, you've had your eyes closed for 11 years, dog. Dog? Coop, you don't even see me as a real girl. What the hell are you talking about? You just called me dog. Are you serious right now? Whatever. Jupe, what do you want from me? Nothing, Coop. Don't you know that by now? I don't want or need anything from you. Of course this is a bald-faced lie, and I'm pretty sure we both know it, but thinking about the implications of the truth is just, no, I know who, what I am, and what, who, I want, damn it. I like girls, not boys. I look at Freddie Mercury and cross my arms, swallow and will away the tears. There's no way I'm about to let Coop see me cry right now. Hell no. You should go call Ray back, I say. He looks at me like I'm a creature from another planet. You're impossible, he says. That does it. I know, okay? I know I'm impossible. I'm not needy enough or sweet enough or tender enough or straight enough. So we are impossible. What are you talking about, Jupiter? We just spent a week doing I'm gay, Courtney. Now I'm yelling. Don't you get that? In the silence that drops over us, the sound of my phone chiming from my desk is so loud we both startle. Coop picks it up and looks at it. His eyes narrow. Oh, shit. Give me my phone, Court. You knew? He looks at me. Shit, shit, shit. Huh? Have I said shit enough times yet? New message from Ray. I did it. He said he had to run and he'd call me back, but I think he's going to say no. You've got some nerve reading my message. You fucking knew. Shit, shit, shit. Give me my phone, Coop. How long? How long what? Don't you fucking play games with me, Jupe. Don't talk to me that way, Coop. He glares at me. I glare right back. How long have you known, Jupiter? I won't break. I won't break. I won't break. He closes his eyes and hangs his head then. Please just tell me. I break. 3 weeks, I say under my breath. What? I said 3 weeks, Coop, okay? I'm definitely about to cry again, and from the look on his face, so is he. But then, click, a shudder drops over his eyes. Closes me out. Feels like what I imagine being hit by a Mack truck and shot off a cliff would feel like. He nods. I get it now. You storming off on New Year's Eve, how clingy you get with her when I'm around. Wow, he sure got that backward. You were in love with her. What? You were in love with her, but then she comes and tells you she's got a thing for me. So what do? You bang me behind her back. Excuse me? Except it didn't really go according to plan, huh, Jupe? Because while we were doing what we were doing, you realize you're really in love with me. Back the fuck up, homeboy. I am not in love with you. I'm not, damn it. In case you've forgotten, I like girls. If us fooling around got you confused, it's your problem, not mine. Yet you're mad at Ray for leading you on. He shakes his head. Who the hell does he think he is reading my life like that? First of all, I never said I was mad at Ray. Your little man mind is just running off with its patriarchal theory. Oh, don't give me that sexism bullshit, Jupiter. You can't tell me you weren't into what we were doing. God, here we go. Let's fight to protect our ego. Just stop, all right? He looks me in the eye. Jupe, I might be attracted to Ray, but it's nothing compared to what, Courtney? Getting to bang the gay girl? He draws back, frowns. You know what? Screw this. It's pointless. He turns to leave. I should have known better. He wipes his eyes on his sleeve, and I feel like a gigantic asshole, because I am, obviously. Coop, look, I know you want everyone to think you're this hardcore, out and proud lesbian, but you and I both know that's bullshit, Jupe. Yeah, you might be into girls, but there's no way in hell you can tell me you're not into me, too. I cross my arms and bite the hell out of the inside of my cheek to keep from opening my mouth. He grabs the doorknob and takes one last look at me. It's fucked up that you're sacrificing us for your stupid label, but fine. You want to keep lying to yourself? Feel free. Just stay the hell away from me. The door opens, and as he disappears into the hallway and pulls it shut, I hear Freddie's forlorn falsetto float into the air. So in love, but love had a bad reaction. I was looking for some good old satisfaction. Oh, fuck off, Freddie. And I walk over and slam my laptop shut. 25. Jealousy. Jazz, 1978. Coop hasn't spoken to me in 2 weeks. Actually, no, I take that back. Coop speaks to me all the time so long as other people are around. As a matter of fact, if other people are around, especially people named Ray Evelyn Chin, a.k.a. his latest girlfriend who he's always tickling and snuggling and picking up and hanging all over the wretched bastard, Coop treats me like the best friend I've always been. He pokes at me and jokes with me and tugs my earlobe and asks my opinion about stuff. He no longer answers my phone calls or responds to my text messages or gets in a car alone with me unless it's to go pick up Ray. But nobody would ever know any of that because when other people are around, he acts like nothing's wrong. And as furious as it makes me, he knows I can't do anything about it. If I blow his cover, I blow mine, and we both know that can't happen. If Ray, or anyone else, gets wind of stormy skies in our Jupe and Coop paradise, questions will arise and questioners will go tugging at closet doors and skeletons will clatter to the floor and the apocalypse will commence. Because if anyone discovers Jupe and Coop were sleeping together, Jupe's whole world will implode. Coop will be applauded and high-fived, attaboyed and play-on-played. He'll be crowned king of men, treated like a god, worshipped for turning the lesbo out. Me? I'll be called a slut and a fraud and treated like days-old dog shit on the bottom of someone's shoe. My lesbian friends will likely shun me, and I've been hanging out with Brianna a lot since Coop and Ray got together, so that can't happen unless I want to be alone all the time. I don't. And my straight ally friends will treat me like some vile betrayer as if they're personally affected. I've seen it happen. Not to mention that if Ray finds out what I did, she'll totally hate me just as much as Coop does. Then I'll really have lost them both. She and I might be interacting under false pretenses right now. It's a kick to the uterus every time she thanks me for being so cool about this. But I'll certainly take that over nothing, which I know makes me pathetic because she basically led me on and then picked him over me. It's all very ridiculous. On the way to the craft day, Ray and I, mostly I, but who's keeping track, planned for the shelter kids. She, Coop, and I are in the car joking and laughing and talking about sex, of all things. I'm sitting in the back seat, of course. The lovebirds are up front with their hands interlinked over the cup holders. But the longer this conversation goes on, the more I find myself peeking over my shoulder at Britt and Golly in Golly's truck behind us. They offered to let me ride with them, but one, I'm a masochist, obviously, and two, the thought of Coop and Ray alone in the car my dad's gifted to us while I rode behind them was just like, uh-uh, hell to the no. So here we are. When you think about the actual mechanics of the whole deal, it's actually kind of hilarious, isn't it? Ray says. Person A takes a blood-filled appendage and sticks it into a moist orifice. Oh God, don't use the M-word, I say. Ray rotates in her seat to look at me. You have a problem with the word moist, Jupes? I hate when she calls me Coop's obviously not so secret or special anymore, but still his nickname for me. Also hate the way she's staring at me. There's this wicked glint in her eye that gives me the willies. I turn to the window. It's so misogynistically porny. Like, ooh, Big Papa, you're making me so M-word. It's totally the kind of shit Shauna would say. Actually, I think she's texted me that before. Well, I mean, it's better than wet, isn't it? Ray says. Yeah, can we not have this conversation? I know my face is reddening. It's still hard for me to believe you've never done anything sexual, Jupiter. And Courtney Aloysius Cooper IV snorts. He looks at me in the rear view and his eyes go wide. If I could breathe fire, he'd be toast right now. And of course, Ray's all over it. Wait, did I miss something? She looks from him to me, to him to me. Then, oh my God, your bracelet is gone! This would be a fabulous time to asphyxiate on my own saliva, except my mouth has gone so dry, my tongue is turning to dust. She looks down at my wrist, up at my face, down at my wrist, up at my face, covers her mouth. How the heck did I miss that? Well, I peek over my shoulder again. You have been a little preoccupied lately. She looks at Coop, dreamily, and giggles as her cheeks flush. I am going to hurl. Did you know about this? She says, swatting Coop's chest with the back of her hand. And the cords of muscle in his forearm look on the verge of popping through his skin. Dear God, I know I'm not real big on prayer, but please feel free to rain down fire and brimstone to take me out like you supposedly did at that Sodom and Gomorrah place. I certainly deserve it, and not at all because I'm gay, because I am still gay, damn it. Coop clears his throat and makes eye contact with me in the mirror again. She may have mentioned it in passing, but I don't know any details or anything. It's a good thing she's so smitten, because anyone else would smell the bullshit wafting off him like post-basketball game body odor. She'll introduce us to the special girl eventually, right, babe? Ray runs a finger down the side of Coop's neck. The song changes, and once Freddie Mercury hits the first refrain, I feel like he's singing right to me. Jealousy. Look at me now. I should really keep my mouth shut. I should bite down on my tongue until the urge to speak goes away, because I know it's a terrible idea to open it after hearing us and Babe and she come out of Ray's mouth like I'm not sitting right fucking here. The wedge between my former best friend and me is pretty deep. Loosening my lips right now is sure to drive it deeper. But as I mentioned, I am a masochist. Yeah, there's no special girl, I say. She turns around. Well, where's your charm bracelet, Missy? Did she really just call me Missy? And did it really give me a little thrill? I clear my throat and look right at the back of Coop's head. It's with a friend for safekeeping. We'll leave it at that. I wonder if Ray can tell Coop's no longer breathing. Things really start to crumble once the ball is rolling at the outreach, which takes place in a beautiful park. We wind up with 24 kids, ages 5 to 14, and despite the low-key relational upheaval, it really is a lovely sight. The Golly Brown Giant is teaching a handful of mostly boys how to knit. If this high school basketball superstar can knit, knitting is the coolest thing ever, right? Britton is teaching a group of eyelash-batting middle school girls how to make spiral staircase friendship bracelets, something I taught him just yesterday, and I have a group of eager-to-get-messy 5- to 7-year-olds at my paper-mâché station. The most happening spot on the yard, though, is Coop and Ray's Sharpie tie-dye station. And since I, just so happened to set up shop diagonally from them, for the past hour I've watched helplessly as they've made goo-goo eyes at each other and charmed the shit out of the oldest kids. The boys think Coop is liquid nitrogen level cool, and the girls think Ray is so pretty. The fact that they're together is delighting their little fan club no end. As my group runs off to play while their globular creations dry in the early spring sunshine, I sit at my station staring at Coop and Ray. Every time she touches him, I want to smash all my kids' handiwork. Every time he smiles down at her, I want to flip the fucking table. Every time they share a glance, every nanosecond of incidental contact, I want to smear paper mache over my eyeballs and let it dry so I never have to see them again. I'm furious with her for every time she held my hand or wrapped her arms around my waist or played in my hair. I'm furious with him for being with her after we X and Y and Z'd and beyond. I'm furious with myself for, God, where do I even start? Ruining 11 years of friendship, betraying my queeple, falling too hard too fast. For which one of them, though? I'm just really freaking furious. So I see your kids are done too, huh? I jump. My bad. Golly says from where he seems to have materialized beside me like some overgrown fairy. Didn't mean to scare you. No, it's fine, I say. Sorry, got a little lost in thought. Yeah, my kids are done. How'd the knitting go? Golly smiles. Honestly, it went a lot better than I expected. I know a lot of people don't mess with me because he gestures to his thighs, but little kids can be relentless. Don't tell nobody, but I was nervous they would flip on me when I pulled out all the needles. I smile. Gentle giant, this one. How about you? He goes on. Things went okay with the rugrats? They did. Well, for the most part. Things got messier than I expected. He nods. You good other than that? Huh? Well, not that I was watching you or anything, but you seem a bit preoccupied. He lifts his chin in the direction of Coop and Ray's station. I watch, my internal organs in danger of destruction from the churning volcano of rage on the verge of eruption inside me. Damn it! As she playfully shoves him and he responds by tapping her nose. Something he used to do to me. I'm good, I say, ripping my eyes away and forcing them to meet Golly's. Yeah, okay. I look out in the opposite direction at a group of people playing kickball. Makes me want to go join them just so I can kick the shit out of something without anyone asking questions. How'd that one kid react to you accidentally putting a strip of wet newspaper on his forehead? Golly asks. Oh, God, you saw that? I smack my forehead. You think anyone else did? You sure you're good, Jupiter? I know you and I don't talk much, but... He sighs. All right, look, I know I'm overstepping here, but you can't tell me that isn't bothering you. He gestures to Coop and Ray again. Frankly, I can see it all over you. Britt can, too. I clear my throat, but don't respond. You're not answering, so I'ma keep going, even though I'll probably regret it, he continues. But you and Coop been tight for a long time. I know he's had girlfriends before, but this is the first time he's dated someone you're close with too, right? I nod. Who knew Golly was so observant? I feel kind of naked right now. So, I mean, it stands to reason that this girlfriend would affect you differently, right? That's not to mention the fact that he seems to actually like this one. Huh? Oh. Were he a little less brown, I think I'd see some red in Golly's cheeks. Nothing. Forget I said that. Anyway, last year, a couple of my sister's best friends started dating, and it had her messed up for a minute. They grew up as this trio, but then Tay, that's my sister, started feeling like the odd one out because Nisha and Jasmine were real affectionate with each other, and they started having all these inside jokes and memories Tay wasn't a part of. He shrugs. The dynamic changed is what I'm saying. Part of me wants to ask if the individual friendships survive, but I'm not sure I'll be able to deal if he says anything resembling a no. So instead I say, you're really close with your sister, huh? Yeah, he replies. I'm tight with all of them. Being the baby and the only boy means I grew up with multiple mamas. I laugh. Back to the matter at hand, though, he says. Bottom line, if the Coop and Ray thing is burning you a little bit, it's okay. He finally looks me in the eye. I don't say anything, and for a minute, neither does he. But then he rocks back on his heels and says, it's definitely burning Britt. Really? I glance over at Britton, who's currently bound to a chair with friendship bracelet string, while a squad of giggly preteen girls marches around him in a circle like they're about to offer him up as a sacrifice. Poor guy. Yeah, man. Coop basically snatched Ray right out from under him. Huh. Well then. Yep. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know Britt and I are around if you ever need anything, aight? We're here for you. Hey, Golly? Yeah? Are they still friends? Tay, Jasmine, and Nisha? You really want to know? He looks down at me with his eyebrows raised. Nope, I sigh. But I think I need to. He nods. Tay and Nisha are, he says. When Nisha and Jasmine broke up and Jazz started dating a guy soon after, things kinda blew up, and Tay took Nisha's side. Oh. Well, that's certainly not what I needed to hear, and not only because both friendships didn't survive. Don't worry about it, though, Jupiter, Golly says. At least Coop's with a girl who knows how thick y'all are and won't trip about it. I can't speak for Ray, but you and Coop's friendship could survive Armageddon. That's when it hits me. It's not just Coop's friendship I'm upset about losing. I'd never say it aloud, but when he got under my clothes, he got under my skin. Way down into the deepest, most vulnerable, top-secret, highly protected parts of me. And I miss him. 26. Under Pressure. Hot Space, 1982. Brianna and I are in her pink Jeep Wrangler with the top and doors off. Frankly, I was relieved when she asked me to hang out with her tonight. It was either that or spend an evening doing homework or sitting alone in my closet, which doesn't feel like much of a sanctuary right now because I get the feeling even my posters are sick of me moping. If I didn't know he was inanimate, I would swear I caught Freddy giving me side-eye the other day. I haven't taken Golly up on his offer to hang with him in Britain. I've got way too many secrets involving our newly coupled mutual friends, and I don't trust that they won't explode out of me with the right prodding. Brianna, though, is safe for the most part. Yes, my high school world and my other world have collided a couple of times recently, but Bree exists on a different plane from everyone else, so when she asked me to go out, I said yes. Though I did make her give me control of the radio. Are we seriously listening to Vanilla Ice right now? She says as the opening bars of one of my favorite Queen songs, featuring David Bowie, play. You did not just ask me that, I say. You didn't. Girl, bye. This is the opening to Ice Ice Baby. I'll have you know that Mr. Ice, as he referred to himself, sampled that track from the greatest band in the history of Bipedal Man. She snorts. You're so dramatic, Jay. No, for real, you need to listen. I turn the volume up as my beloved Freddy breaks out his mind-bending falsetto. Hearing it makes me feel so good, I squeeze my eyes closed and sing right along with him. Chipping around, kick my brains round the floor. These are the days it never rains, but it pours. Brianna is cracking up. When I open my eyes, we're stopped at a traffic light, and she's looking at me with this admiring-ish grin on her face. You know you're a mess, right? Shut up. I face forward. Even with no roof or doors on the car, the usual tension between us fills the Jeep. There's definitely some chemistry between us. So much, in fact, it gets overwhelming at times and I have to get away from her. Right now, though, in my present self-piteous, nobody wants me and I have no clue who I am anymore state, let's just say this tension feels damn good and her lips are looking downright delicious. Sat on a fence, but it don't work. Thanks for that, Freddy. So I noticed you're not wearing that bracelet anymore, Bree says out of nowhere. It was a gift from your dad's, right? What gives? Seriously? This is the time she picks to notice? I turn my face into the breeze from my doorless side of the car. Outgrew it, I guess. If only she knew. It's strange seeing you without it. Like, your arm looks mad naked. And before I can give what I'm doing any actual thought, I turn to look at her. Are you saying you imagine me naked, Brianna? Her eyes widen, but only for like a microsecond. I only catch it because I'm staring at her so hard. Slow your roll, Jay, she says. You're underage. That doesn't answer the question. She glances at me. If I didn't know any better, I'd say she looks nervous. What's gotten into you tonight? More like what hasn't been into me in almost a month now. I was just asking. We lapse into silence, which isn't good because I can feel weeks and weeks worth of verbal puke surging up my esophagus. Do you really think you'd get in trouble if we hooked up, I say? Wow, 0 points for finesse, Jupe. Brianna just shakes her head. Not taking that bait, Jay. I look back out the open door. When did you figure out you were into girls? Okay, what is this really about, Jupiter? I sigh and look down at my blue toenails. I'm wearing charcoal-colored denim cutoff shorts with tattered fishnets underneath, a tight-fitting low-cut blue shirt, and peep-toe wedge booties. While I couldn't give a shit about the male gaze, when Bree told me where she wanted to take me, the yearly spring sapphism social thrown by the pride organization she runs, I just knew I needed to look as hot as possible. Play up my assets. Attract the attention I'm admittedly desperate for. They say you don't know what you've got till it's gone, and I have to confess, after being with Coop and feeling his ravenousness for me all those nights, the dearth of such a feeling is, yeah, it's shitty. And then, when you throw Ray in there, you know, the fact that she never wanted me in the first place, I just want to know when and how you knew, I say. Same way you knew, asswipe. I just did, pretty much always. I look at her hands on the wheel, her tattooed forearms, her neck, her mouth. I gulp. You know I've never even kissed a girl, right? Well, I kind of have, but not really. Though I have kissed a boy, and that was... No, screw that. That was nothing. Just like the kiss from Ray was nothing. Right? Brianna laughs. Is that what this is about? God, I feel like I'm 7 right now. I guess I'm just sick of waiting to find out what it's like. We exit the highway, and Bree stops at the top of the ramp and turns to me. Who said you had to? The tension puffs up inside the open Jeep, almost like we've driven right into a cumulus cloud. I need to change the subject. So are you, dating anyone these days? Nah, I was talking to this one girl, but then she mentioned an ex-boyfriend and I had to cut it off. Huh? I don't mess with bisexual girls. Oh, the cloud in the car thickens. It's nothing personal, really. Enough girls leave you for dudes and you learn to keep your distance, she goes on. Girls who touch the peen, don't touch Bree the dream. The light goes green and she turns left. While it's not fun hearing my fears confirmed, again, I can't say I don't get it. No, Ray never said she was into me, but she sure acted like she was, and losing to peen-possessing Coop sucked. So I take it you've never been with a guy, I say? Oh, I have. I just about choke on my tongue. You have? I've only been out for a couple years, babe. Babe, huh? And before that? Before that, there were boys. But I thought you said you always knew. Not all of us have the privilege of growing up with gay parents, Jay. My mom is the epitome of black church lady. Oh. You know what I find funny about the whole thing? What? I say. Heaven is supposed to be this place of no sadness, right? I guess. I know nothing about this. Well, when I finally came out to her, she cried and went on this whole soliloquy about what am I gonna do if my baby ends up in hell? The whole time I'm just standing there thinking, if heaven is the place people say it is, won't it be impossible to be sad about the folks who didn't make it there? Valid. And to think I wasted all that energy on dudes. She shakes her head. The wind is roaring in my ears now, but it doesn't keep me from feeling the awkward silence against my skin. So what was it like, I finally say. Being with boys, I mean. Nothing. Huh? It was like nothing, she says. Awkward friction, lots of grunting and smelliness and sweat from them, and I played along, but it was nothing. Being poked in the pelvis from the inside. Didn't feel good, didn't feel bad, just nothing. Interesting. Certainly wasn't nothing for me. That can't be good. But did you, like, feel anything for these boys? Like, emotionally? Nah, thought I did, but it was all pretty forced. Do you think that would have made a difference? These questions are pretty specific. She looks at me with an eyebrow raise. You trying to tell me something, Jay? What? No. Oh, God. I just wondered if that would make a difference. In general. I can't even look at her right now. Anyway, sorry it was bad, I guess. It's cool, she shrugs. Honestly, I think it didn't really help that I like being the dominant one. She tosses me a sidelong glance and a smirk. I'd wipe away the sweat at my hairline, but the tension has gotten so thick I can't lift my arms. And being with a girl, I ask? She turns to me. Oh, there's no describing that, Jay. Oh, you'll find out one of these days, she says. And she winks. The conversation definitely causes a shift. We spend the last 10 minutes of the drive sneaking super loaded glances at each other. and the following 4 hours, laughing, flirting, and touching more than we have in over a year of friendship. She holds my hand and tugs me around the party, introducing me to all of her friends. She gets me drinks, no more than two, though, and constantly checks to make sure I'm having a good time. We dance so close, I can feel her breath on my neck, and boy, does that give me a shiver. And then, when I say I need a rest, she pulls me into her lap and tickles me until I squeal like a piglet. And despite knowing I'm not in the best mental or emotional space, it feels good letting go, letting this thing between us breathe and bloom. By the time we get back to my house, I'm practically drunk on it, in addition to the sophisticated screwdrivers I had, and I'm ready for, I want it to take me over. "You should come up," I say as Brianna pulls into my driveway. It's just after one. The side eye she gives me could wither flowers. "Nope, not happening." "Come on, Bree, we've been having so much fun. I don't want it to be over yet." I poke my lip out. "Please?" She shakes her head. "Nope." "Bree?" "I don't want to wake your dads, Jay." She stares up at the house. I wave her off. "They're not even..." Her eyes narrow. "Okay, so if I tell the truth, they're not home. She'll definitely refuse to come up because she'll know this is a trap." "They're not light sleepers," I say. She's not buying it. "Bree, please don't leave me yet." I take her hand and trace circles on her palm. When she still doesn't bite, I lean forward a little so she can see down my shirt. Bat, bat, bat go the eyelashes. "Pretty, please come up." It's a good thing I'm tipsy right now. If I weren't, I'd be pretty disgusted with myself. Her eyes flick down to my chest before she looks me in the eye, and I know I've got her then. "Fine, but only for a few minutes," she says. She turns off the Jeep and we both get out, and then I make the mistake of looking at Coop's window and see that his light is still on. It sobers me up a bit. What's he doing up so late? But then I remember the way he ignored me when I waved at him this morning, the asshole. "Come on." I take Bree's hand and lead her to my house. When we get to my room, which she's never been inside before, I turn on the light and she makes a beeline for Coop's chair. "No, don't sit there." "Okay. Way to wig out within the first half a minute, Jupiter." "Sorry, it's just..." I take my shoes off and kick them at the closet door. I can feel Freddie Mercury eyeing me disapprovingly, and I'm tempted to give him the finger. "It's a really old chair," I say. "It's gonna fall apart any day now, and I don't want you to be the person sitting in it when it does." She lifts an eyebrow. Stealth approach obviously isn't going well, so... I lied. "About what?" She shoves her hands in the pockets of her navy chinos and looks around my messy room. "About my dad's," I say, taking a step closer. "They're not actually here." She raises her hands and takes a few steps back. "Jay, this is not a good idea, dog." "Oh, come on, Bree. What about the past 4 hours?" I close the gap and stare at the perfect brown skin exposed by the open buttons of her shirt. She has a spattering of moles across her chest. "You think I don't notice the way you look at me sometimes? Why do you think I was asking you those questions earlier, huh?" I reach for her hand and she pulls away. "Jupiter, you have no idea what you're doing." "I know. That's why I want you to teach me." Her eyes latch onto mine, then drop to my lips, my neck, my chest. She shakes her head. "Nah," she says. "Nope. Hell to the no." I hook my index fingers into her two front belt loops and tug her closer. "Brianna." Our hips crash together. She still has her hands in her pockets, but her jaw clenches. When I grin, because let's face it, I can't help but grin. It's nice to feel powerful again. She looks at my mouth again and licks her lips. Almost got her. "I know I like you, Bree. Don't you like me back?" "Of course I like you, Jupiter. Then show me what you were saying you can't describe." "I'm so gonna regret this shit tomorrow." She takes a deep breath. "This isn't a game, babe." "I know. But do I?" She's still watching my mouth, so I grin. "You need to be 100% sure about this, Jupiter. You get that, right? This will change things between us. That buddy-buddy shit will be done." "I get it. I'm serious. There's no going back." "If anybody gets that, it's me." "Mm-hmm." I pull her shirt out from where it's tucked into her pants and begin to loosen the buttons. It's a lot easier than it was with Coop. She grabs my wrists and tucks my arms behind me as she pulls me up against her. "You better be sure, Jupiter, because once I get started..." "Oh, I'm sure." "You sure you're sure?" She runs a fingertip down the center of my chest and stomach and slips a hand under the hem of my shirt. It's like a lightning bolt to the lady parts, and the shock shoots out to my fingertips and down to my electric blue toenails. Where Coop was gentle, tentative about every moment of contact, Brianna is confident, aggressive. It makes me want her. The full lips, the soft skin, the gentle curves, all the things that make her different from him, that much more. She unbuttons my shorts and I'm ready to explode. I smile because it's such a relief to feel my body confirm what I've always known I wanted. My fingertips float up to the edges of her ears and the buzzed sides of her frohawk, and she hums. I close my eyes and my head falls back just as she slips her hands inside the back of my shorts and puts her mouth up to my neck. "Say it," she breathes against me. "Can I do it? Can I commit to this?" "I'm sure," I say. Then her mouth is on mine, and I'm gone. 27. Bohemian Rhapsody, A Night at the Opera, 1975. Is this the real life? Is this just Can it, Freddie? I didn't come in here to listen to you gloat. I'm on my back in the sanctuary listening to Bohemian Rhapsody on repeat as tears run down into my hair. Brianna has called and or texted me 17 times. It's been 8.5-ish hours since she woke up on my belly, climbed out of my bed to put her clothes back on, and left my house at 6 in the morning. I hadn't slept a wink because, one, I was still a bit electrified from all the things she did to me. Holy shit. And two, from where I was lying on the bed, I could see Coop's window. His light stayed on until the sky turned that pre-sunrise orange pink that looks like the rind of a Texas Star Ruby grapefruit. "I tried not to compare them, you guys," I say to my posters, but that was the most futile thing ever. Bree's lying there on top of me with her naked breasts on my naked hips, and all I could think about was how she was soft where he was hard. She was vocal where he was quiet. She was assertive where he was gentle. I rolled to my side to look at Freddie. They looked, sounded, smelled, tasted, felt so different. It was more physical with her, but more emotional with him. I know I'm supposed to like one more than the other, but, right? Isn't that how this works? Shit! I collapse onto my belly and cry some more. Now Brianna is sending me all these messages and I can't reply because I'm like drowning in guilt. For one, did I not do to her what Ray did to me? I mean, it wasn't exactly the same thing because I didn't force myself on her, but I certainly didn't take her no for an answer, I continue. And I basically used her and lied to her by omission. I knew she wouldn't have been down with what we did if she'd known about my contact with the peen. So what does that say about me? Ugh, yeah, I knew I liked girls, but was this not a let me see what this is like in comparison type thing? How big of a hypocrite can I be? Now choking, sputtering balls. And the worst part is the whole thing made me realize how much I miss Coop. Like, I miss him so much, and I'm totally not even talking about just the friendship part. That scares the shit out of me because I'm not supposed to feel this way about him. He's a boy, y'all. None of them responds. And okay, fine. I'd never been with anyone before him, so I guess I couldn't have known I'd be into it, I say. But what I can't figure out is if I liked it because I really liked it, which was definitely the case with Brianna, or if I liked it because I like him. Or is it both? Can one be gay yet heterosexually demisexual? Would that make me homoflexible? What the hell is happening to me? Gotta leave you all behind and face the truth. Do not even sing that to me right now, Freddie. Do you have any idea of the shit people will say if I pop up all, yeah, totes in love with my best dude friend after spending all this time going on and on about recognizing lesbianism as a legitimate sexual identity and not just a phase? It'll look like every word out of my mouth has been a lie. Besides, I don't even know what to call myself now. I know you identified as bisexual, but that doesn't feel quite right. Like there's this trans guy, Toby Folletti, who comes to Iridis meetings sometimes. I've always felt a little something when he's around, but I never gave it much thought before. Now though, I mean, trans people fit the binary, but it got me thinking, who's to say I won't eventually be into someone who doesn't? I looked it up, and some places say bisexual implies binary, but other places say it means attracted to two or more genders. So I for real don't even know. And then there's queer, but does that just mean not straight? I guess there's pansexual, but that feels too broad at this point. I don't want to pick a label and then wind up going through this again. Can't I just like who I like? Why is this so complicated, you guys? I roll over, take a deep breath, think about what would happen if I just came out. About Coop, I mean. You're sacrificing us for your stupid label still stings. Would it really be that bad if people knew how I felt about him? Of course it would, goes that other voice in my head. I can't do it, you guys. I can already hear the imbecilic shit those patriarchist morons at school will say if they know. They'll smirk at me in the halls and be all, we knew you just needed a taste of the D. The very idea of Coop being treated like some conquering hero for showing the gay girl who's boss is enough to make me want to burn the whole goddamn place down. Jupiter, there's a knock. You in there? Dad. Yes, I'm in here, Daddy. Can you come out here for just a sec? Sure. I stand and cover the posters. Wipe my face, ignore the mirror, don't want to see myself, and pull the door open. Judging by how puffy and red his eyes are, Dad's been crying